listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
So we're recording after, and we'll have to alter the episode title to sound more optimistic as opposed to the panicked title that we had in the last episode. Granted, it's still preseason, doesn't really matter, but I think we feel better after that last preseason game. But we'll touch a little bit on that. But before we start, Derek, I know you had a pretty good breakdown of the what is that widely acclaimed team called? I think it's Bishop Sycamore.
Man, like I was just saying, I went to Catholic school for 10 plus years, and I never remember any Bishop Sycamore in any of any class or anything like that. Never heard of Bishop Sycamore. You know, there could be a tree called a Bishop Sycamore or something like that. I don't know. All I know is that's pathetic, man. And it's even more pathetic on ESPN's part for not doing their homework with that.
Right.
That's the most pathetic thing about it is how did you not know that this team is fabricated and that, you know, some of the players that are supposedly top players probably, you know, are legally able to drink in this country. I mean, that's what I gather by it. I don't know, man. That was one of the craziest things. It's going to be 2 weeks later. People are still going to be passing memes about that. It's going to be sad.
The thing no one is talking about, though, is how good IMG really is for them to be like, for them to beat the mean machine from longest yard, 58-0. Like, how so good funny. Is IMG? Like, IMG was always one of those legendary schools where, like, you are guaranteed a D1 scholarship if you go to IMG. And watching some of the film from that game, take out the Bishop Sycamore, like, you know, had no reason being there, obviously. But, I mean, IMG was bigger, faster, and stronger than a bunch of grown-ass men. So, I mean, that's funny. But yeah, man. You know, Corey, I heard that you were going to be the next head coach.
The press conference is next Monday, so everybody come out. We're going to. You know, what's so funny about that is in the last episode, what's that fake school that you always reference, JK3, like the Sisterhood of the Blind or something like that?
Saint Mother of Mary Catholic University.
Yeah, exactly. So when I heard that, because I hadn't heard about it yet, but when Derek texted about that in the group chat, and I immediately made me think of that kind of made up school that you literally talked about in the last episode. So I don't know. I think you've sort of like prophesized this happening, but that coach
the fighting friars of Saint Mary, Saint Mother of Mary Catholic University.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on YouTube, you can see Saint Mother of Mary Catholic University against Bishop Sycamore back in '68. It was a barn burner. Be sure to go check that out. But that was really funny, and it is really sad for ESPN. I'm sure somebody got fired, which is
how do you? You're the worldwide leader in sports. How does that happen? How do you not fact check this?
I don't know.
It's when you use Disney employees to run a sports company.
You sound like you're mad about the fantasy football login thing still.
Yeah, I'm still mad about that, but I think I got it corrected. But no, that's exactly what it is, I think, in my opinion.
You just change your password to Mickey Mouse 123 like they want you to do.
Nah, that's okay. I'll pass. Thank you. But no, that was funny, man. That was really funny. The Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah. Well, that was good stuff. We'll have coming up here announced today the Saints and the Packers, which is pretty cool. Although anywhere you read about this in the national social media world, you know, we're sort of getting blasted as, you know, this is going to be the only sold out game, and finally Jacksonville fans get to see good teams. So
somebody says something about the tarps being off the stadium. It's like, bro, the tarps annoying. Have been gone for so long. Like, so literally, dumb. Give it up. That is the worst. That's the worst joke ever. Like, oh, the tarp is going to be lifted off for this one.
5 years too late, man.
Yeah. Like, literally. Come on, man. But no, it was, you know, and first off, you know, thinking of, and if we have any fans that are out there in the, you know, the Louisiana area, you know, hope everything's going all well with that, with the hurricane, man. I mean, that area kind of just seems to get targeted every year with like some type of bad storm. So, I mean, again, you know, just hope everything's going all right, you know, for the folks there in New Orleans and in that whole Delta area. But I mean, it is kind of cool, honestly, that, you know, we'll have the opportunity for, you know, the Saints versus the Packers. I think that's a monumental. I mean, that's a pretty big season, you know, starter for both teams in the NFC. And some marquee names too. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Jameis Winston coming back to Jacksonville. So, I mean, or coming into, you know, all the Florida State fans that are here, you know, the homers, Derek will probably go there and see it. So you're going to support your boy J-Bo and go, or what?
No, I'm not going to support my boy J-Bo. I should go. That's going to be just the fact that, you know, you get to actually see. I know that we're talking, you know, we're all for our hometown team here, but to watch Aaron Rodgers in person.
Oh yeah.
That to me right there is worth going. It's supposed to be a Jags pod. No, man, Aaron Rodgers won, you know, he's top five, top six all time.
Plus so, Aaron is talking about, he's talking about Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah. So, we'll see if he can get past Tampa. That alone, to see the Packers, you know, and see Aaron Rodgers play, you know, live, should be enough to, you know, want to go see a game, especially if you're just a fan of the game in general. Sure. Jameis, I mean, yeah, he won the starting job. We'll see what that works if he starts throwing picks, man. Because if he starts throwing picks, Sean Payton will bench him in 2 seconds and go with Taysom Hill, and we'll see. But
then Derek's gonna have to check on that return policy for that Winston Saints jersey he bought too. That'll suck.
I don't have a Winston Saints jersey. I don't have a Winston FSU jersey. I just wear FSU t-shirts and polos when I when I rep my nose. So
gotcha.
You trying too hard. Leave me alone.
One of the guys that, you know, covers the Jags, I guess, who is it, Mark Long, he had written a tweet about, you know, tickets being available. I thought I'd check with our ticket guy for the Jag season tickets on whether there would be exclusive access to tickets ahead of time, you know, if we wanted to check that game out. He said no, but then Mark Long saying yes, and there's a guy replying in our tweets here saying that, or had a screenshot actually on Ticketmaster that does show season ticket member pre-sale 17 hours away. So evidently you sounds like you can get them ahead of time before the general public.
I'm not going to let this distract anyone from taking away my joy in week one when Trevor goes to Houston and does his thing, remnants of what he did in that preseason game against Dallas. I am not going to go. And you know what? These 4 o'clock naps are going to be so much better, at least on Sunday, or at least when they play Houston on opening weekend. That's going to be such a happy nap. And you know what? I'll catch the highlights on SportsCenter just because I'll just be too overjoyed with that first W in week one.
Well, let's talk about that, because, and that's a good pivot. First of all, we had a tweet come in from Isles Meetup Jacksonville, who asked us when the new podcast was coming out to get our take on the preseason game 3, which was cool. I didn't know there was an Islanders hockey meetup group here in Jacksonville. So shout out to them for folks looking for that. You know, there. Wait, you go.
Is that what it really is?
I think so. Yeah. So when I clicked into it, for Isles fans in Jacksonville and all of Northeast Florida. So, and they retweet the New York Islanders all the time. So I guess maybe these are folks that moved down here and are fans or something. But they're fans of our podcast, so we'll take it. Go Islanders. But they wanted to get our thoughts on the game. So I guess we could just start with that, not to get too deep into it, but obviously JK3, you had some good takeaways with Trevor Lawrence specifically. Can you talk about that?
I think one of the things that they have been missing, and we saw a lot of CJ. You know, kind of running Urban's, you know, quote unquote offense, you know, the quick decisions, the quick throws and the quick distribution of the ball. And it felt good to see the number one pick, you know, do what he was so successful at Clemson for, quick releases, quick reads, made some absolute beautiful dimes. You know, some great throws. And again, this is kind of what I wanted to see. I would have felt way better about this team if they did that, you know, first and second preseason game. You know, but I don't know if Urban is trying to hide things. I don't know if he's trying to keep his hands, you know, close. But again, you got to be able to do some of those basic things. You got to be able to make some of those basic throws and basic reads. And, you know, that was what they did. They were able to get out there and, you know, establish, you know, a couple of passing plays, establish a couple of drives that got him down and got him comfortable. And, you know, you say what you wanted is a preseason against whatever those teams are. But I felt really comfortable, you know, seeing him actually move the ball in somewhat of an NFL game speed. You know, it wasn't by any means any ones or something to hang your hat on, but able to see him move the ball, able to see him make some reads, able to see him throw some of the long balls. And yeah, I think Cotton helped him, or no, Cotton didn't make that that play with him. But I think some of the receivers, Farrell Cooper, really helped him out on a couple of passes, keeping them in bounds as well and making some catches. So, you know, that's what you want to see. You want to see your first round talent. You want to see him out there making some of those plays. And I think he played a little bit too long for me. But, you know, after that drive, you could have sat him down. I seen him what I needed to see. But they kept him in a little bit longer, and it paid off. So super pumped about week one. Very optimistic about what they plan on doing as far as an offensive, you know, schemes. And, yeah, I'm hyped, man.
Derek, with regards to Lawrence and that last preseason game, are you putting a lot of stock in that? Or I guess what's the balance between us not putting stock into him playing poorly in the first two games, or not to what we expected, I guess, and then playing really great in the third? You know, it's sort of weird how we kind of shift our thought process on that sometimes.
If he didn't play that well, then we already have a problem. We would have had a major problem if they didn't do what they did against Dallas. That's just it. If the first 2 weeks, if he, you know, they were what they were, if he'd gone out there the third week and had the same things happening, regardless if it was Dallas backups, their practice squad, their you know, the local high school, you know, football team, whoever, if they didn't do that, then we would have had a serious problem. But because sure, they didn't, and they performed well, that's what you want. Tempo, rhythm. That's what it's all about. Tempo and rhythm. Offenses do well when they get in rhythm, when there's familiarity with each other and the blocking schemes are working, the receivers are getting open, the quarterback standing tall, he's not getting hit. You know, you pay attention to a quarterback's feet when you know they're in trouble or they're uncomfortable, because they start dancing. You know, they start doing that old, anybody remember MC Hammer from the early 90s? He did that whole dance where you shuffle his feet across the stage back and forth.
Typewriter.
Yeah, the typewriter. Yeah, something like that. That's what Peyton Manning did that naturally. That's why it just looks so weird. But most quarterbacks, they start getting that little happy feet dance when they get uncomfortable. He didn't have that. So, and that's how it has to be. Now, even with Houston coming up, that's going to be a completely different ball game. You know, although Houston is, you know, they're very dismantled right now and, you know, dysfunctional with every situation they have. And not just Deshaun Watson. They, you know, their whole front office, everything, they have problems. Hey, let's not sit here and say, oh, let's just 1-0. You know, I know I said like a couple of weeks ago that if they don't beat Houston twice this year, then, man, I might, you know, stick my head in the sand. Houston can very well beat them. Okay. Very well, because this team hasn't proven a thing. So we need to make sure that, as you know, fans, you support the team and just make sure, you know, be optimistic. But at the same time, we should win. You know, if you get that same rhythm, that same continuity, and that same confidence. That's another thing too. They look more confident. Just even their demeanor on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, you can study the ball and watch the touchdowns. I'm looking at their eyes and their demeanor and seeing how they're interacting with each other. And seeing if Herb's got that red mark on his forehead that he usually gets. That's what I look for. And I didn't see that, you know, so that's good.
What about the defense, Derek? What were your thoughts on the defense more generally?
Got to play better. You know, got to improve and do the, you know, stay home, you know, do the right things, make the right plays. They're working hard, and hopefully with this with the roster now set, those guys start to get some familiarity with each other. That's another piece. Defense isn't more rhythm, but guys have to know each other, especially on the back end. They definitely have to know each other on the back end, the corners and the safeties.
Speaking of that, man, it was good to see CJ make a couple of plays. Yeah, he had a couple of tackles where he came in and from across coverage and make some stuff. I think the defensive line blew up a couple of screens. As well, the linebackers. Miles Jack is so underrated. And that's just not talking about his preseason performance or his performance in the game, the third game. But I'm just saying, as a whole, you know, he's out there actually playing game speed. And I think there's a couple of guys. You know, Jahad Ward as well. Smoot is finally getting some love. Also Taven is still jumping off sides, but Taven being Taven, man, right?
Stop. Let's stop right there. Okay. It's what we recording this Wednesday night. It's September 1st. How is this man still on the team?
I don't get it. I don't get it, man. And from what I'm hearing, we're still waiting on our media passes. ask Brass that, they must have been lost in the mail, so we're waiting on those. But I don't know what exactly, the team sees, that we see as fans and are watching this game and see what he does for the last 4 years. Like, I just don't get it. I get it that he's big. I get it that he can take up some space and he can be a threat in the run and everything else like that, and they're purely keeping him on for potential. Like, when does the potential run out? When does the potential run out? Like, honestly, like if he was somebody that got progressively better every year, like DeJuan Smoot, that would be a completely different, because now we're looking at Smoot to take the leap, and Smoot is either going to get a big contract somewhere else, or he's going to get that contract from the Jaguars middle end of this year or whatever, and still be on this team and really just continue to be a pillar of the team. But Taven, I just don't see what he does. He gets lost he gets washed into the run blocking schemes. He jumps off sides. And then when he jumps off sides, he turns his back. How do you turn your back to the play? You jump off sides and then turn around like, oh man, I did it. I can't believe they got me on that one.
Yeah. It's punched in the face.
At least when you jump off sides, do a front flip like Jahad Ward did. Dude,
man. I can't even. So I base it just on the fact it's got to be a money thing, which it shouldn't be because we got plenty of cap room. If it really is a potential thing and, he was a first-round pick, he was a mistake at a first-round pick. Nobody expected him. You can talk to any Gator fan in town. You can walk up to any of them. And a lot of them are passionate, like you, JK3. And you can sit there four years ago and say, hey, man, Taven Bryan's going to go first. Guarantee about 75% of them are going to say, who the heck is Taven Bryan? and then the other 25 that know who he is going to be like, man, I would put him on FSU's roster. Okay. And it's true because you guys did like Taven Bryan. Really? Taven Bryan? Like, yeah. So, no, like it doesn't make sense. Cap, whatever it was, if it's a cap thing, whether if it's a potential thing, whether if it's a, we got to see what he has thing because he was out, because he got, KO'd, whatever it is. Hey, you made some money. You probably got your education. Go start a business and live life. But playing defensive end tackle is not,
Is it safe to say there's consensus that that was the most surprising guy to stick to the 53-man roster overall, or do you guys have another candidate too?
The most surprising to stay?
Yeah, to stay.
Yeah. By far. That was the most surprising person to make the team. Okay. I really felt like the Jags had made a move. away from him, honestly. Like I really did. I thought Costin, Doug Costin played really good and had some really good snaps. And Costin played He played like 400 or 500 snaps. I think like 400 snaps last year too, which was, you know, outstanding. So I thought, you know, Costin, at least if they're going to cut, you know, a defensive line or a defensive lineman, it was going to be him. I mean, for sure, it was going to be Taven. I for sure thought it was going to be Taven.
Yeah. You know, there was, you know, some, what about, you know, Wingard? He's actually pretty good at special teams. So,
bro, Wingard can go too.
Yeah, he's pretty good at special teams. So,
Wingard,
on the back end, yes, he can go, but he's actually a decent special teamer. So,
Jared Wilson or Dewey Wingard? Which one? No. Which one are you taking?
I'm taking Wingard over Wilson.
Oh my God, you're insane. Did you watch any of the games last year?
No, I know. I just said that just to get that reaction. Oh,
yo, Wingard is, oh man, he is not good. But yeah, I guess so are you prioritizing by keeping him, or are you prioritizing like special teams?
No, I'm not prioritizing it. I'm just, you know, Herbs is going to think outside the box, and he's looking for guys that are basically going to, you know, run through walls for him and do everything that he asked them to do. And Wingard kind of fits that profile. He's definitely not afraid. He's just – he puts himself in bad positions back there and bad angles. Like, his angles are terrible. Both of him and Wilson's angles are both terrible.
I agree.
So when you look at it now, still, it does. You can take both of them, and it still doesn't add up to want Taven gone. So that's just, okay. You know – that's just, and it's, you know, just another crazy situation. But hey, he's here. Wingard's here. Taven's here, and it's man. I don't know.
We'll I think see. with Wingard staying and like just talking about like some of the reaction to the 53 man, I feel like the offensive line has remained the same as far as like continuity goes, and like, you know, they're kind of rocky group. But I feel like the safeties too. I don't think we've gotten better at safety over the last couple of years. I mean, I think, you know, the verdict is, I don't want to put too much on Cisco. Of course, he's got like the potential and everything right now. But I mean, as far as like your safeties goes right now, I mean, you know, you'll probably have, you know, Jenkins in either, you know, Andre Cisco or Rudy Ford or whatever combination that they decide to put out there. And I mean, Cisco has shown a ton of potential, but he is coming off, you know, that injury. And, you know, Jenkins, we'll have to still see the verdict out for him. But I just feel like, you know, those I don't think they got necessarily stronger. I don't think they got younger, but I don't know if they got better at safety. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they didn't get better.
It's kind of like even, right?
It didn't get worse.
A yellow. Just, like if it was a green, red, or yellow, I feel like it's like a soft yellow.
I can see that. The thing is, too, when you look at the DB play, which, you know, CJ Henderson had some bright spots last year, and besides that, we basically got torched every other game. Defensive line got no pressure.
Okay? Yeah,
let's put this into. We'll rewind a little bit, although we don't like to. We're going to rewind a little bit to 4 years ago. Jalen, all-world corner. Colvin, best nickel, you know, in the league. And oh, gosh, I can't even think of his name now. What was the other?
Who?
The other corner's name when we in 2017.
Oh, you, Hayden?
Having a brain fart. Not Hayden. Not DJ Hayden?
Oh, gosh. You're corner, not nickel. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
AJ Boye.
So there was a reason why those guys were like number one and number four passer rating, because the quarterback had no time. Okay. No time. Not taking anything away from them, especially Ramsey, because as much as he runs his mouth, he's good. Okay. He's one of the best in the league right now. But it's even better when you've got, you know, our old Saxonville, when guys are just, you, they're only rushing four and they're getting pressure. We get no pressure. We get no push. Quarterbacks, they sit back there. and they could have a barbecue grill set up back there last year and make a hot dog and a burger before they get touched. That's got to improve because you got to help those guys out. No corner can cover forever. Not even Deion, as great as he was, he couldn't cover forever. You know, you got to get some type of push. So that's what I'm looking for, is see how much push we can get and see how creative we can get on defense.
So is it safe to say that you guys feel more comfortable with the offensive side of the final 53 than the defensive side, just based on how you guys have been describing it here?
Well, I'll say offensively, we're much improved at quarterback, obviously. The receiver, I was a little skeptical about the receiver, because we knew that was going to be a tough group, right? We knew that was going to be a tough group of people getting going. And, you know, unfortunately, Colin Johnson, you know, wasn't able to make it, which I thought he was probably one of the picks that I had. I figured they would have given him another, you know, year to kind of develop. But, you know, Derek, I think you were mentioning in the group chat that he doesn't fit what the offense is, you know, what they're trying to do and what Urban's philosophy is. And then so they go out and get Tyron Johnson, today from, you know, San Diego, who was, claimed him off waiver. So automatically they get bigger and stronger there. So I think the receiver room is just stacked. I think it's a really good, room that they've got there. As far as the running backs goes, I don't know if they've claimed another RB. I haven't taken a look at a majority or I haven't seen anything else, but I think with, James Robinson and,
Ogunbowale.
I Carlos Hyde, I don't know how he made the roster either, but I would have taken Robinson and Ogunbowale all day, and then maybe found another way to keep another weapon on the offensive side of the ball, minus Carlos Hyde. But I mean, the thing is, good players are getting cut. We're having a discussion on what players that should have stayed and should not have stayed. Tavon Austin is going to be, kind of up in the air now since ETN is out. So if he comes back healthy too. But I think as far and the tight end room too, the tight end is more of almost Tourette still. I think they still need to do a lot of work on that tight end room. But this roster, it doesn't – I mean, again, just looking at the roster, man, and looking at, what they've got going, I still only see about 4 or 5 wins on the team, honestly, from a player personnel perspective. Huh. 4 or 5 wins, maybe. I mean, you can only scheme so much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be extremely difficult because they're just, we've gotten younger. They flipped the roster around. We've gotten younger, and now it's time, you have the plan in place. Now it's time to go through the bumps and bruises, I guess you could say, those bumps and bruises. And maybe there's a game or two that you could stretch that to 5 or 6. I mean, I originally picked 7 and 10, I think. But it feels so weird even saying that 7 and 10.
Yeah.
It could go down a couple games. Our division is interesting because Houston's got all their issues. The Colts can't stay healthy. Season hasn't even started. They got people dropping like flies. And then obviously, big bad Tennessee, but even Tennessee, they have COVID problems.
Yeah,
they have a lot of COVID problems. So there's definitely opportunity there. Staying healthy, which we haven't gotten off to the greatest of starts, is another thing too. Looking for that consistency just to play together. What I want to know after 4 games, you'll see. Will Urban, lose it when if they go 1-3 or if they go 0-4 or whatever? I want to see how they finish the season. Because that's a tall tale sign of if his message is getting through to them. Because in the first quarter, first half of the season, there's the excitement that they're still playing pro ball. But if they're losing, then those last 8 or 9 games, are they still going out and fighting hard and competing? Or are they just rolling over and just giving up?
I mean, they've got to have something. That first half of the, in my opinion, that first quarter of the season is going to be your best time to really be able to stack a couple W's. I mean, you've got Houston, you've got Denver, Arizona, and the Bengals within four. I think if this team can go 2-2 in that stretch, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, if you win the home opener against Denver, you win, you know, against Houston on week one, Cardinals, I don't know about that team. That's got a lot of firepower on the team and they're able to score. Bengals, you know, they're in the same kind of, you know, boat with the Jags. But then from there, you know, you've got Titans, you've got Seahawks, you've got Bills, and you've got the Dolphins. I mean, all offensively, you know, productive teams that have all made strides in getting better. And then after that, you know, you've got Colts, Niners, Falcons, Rams, Titans again, Texans, Jets. You may not see another, you know, W, you know, hopefully, you know, until you may not see another W until like week 16, you know. So they've got to stack those wins early and they got to face that adversity earlier. But I mean, again, just looking at this roster compared to some of the other rosters that this team will be playing, if they steal a couple wins here and there, you know, of course, I'm going to be over the moon and excited if they knock off one of the big boys on the team. But, you know, again, the roster, you know, is mediocre at best.
And I'll tell you this, too. When you look at stealing a couple wins, here's one thing they can do. One thing they can free. Pass protection, Trevor Lawrence, all that stuff. Da-da-da-da-da. Turnovers, yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here's one thing they can do, and I guarantee they can get 2 or 3 wins out of it. Stop the run.
Yeah.
They have to stop the run. Running a team running against you is so deflating that, man, it's like it even takes the air out of the people at home watching the game.
Do you remember when they played Carolina last year and they ran the same, they kept running the same play over and over and over again, and like the third string, like the popcorn boy had like 75 yards against the starting defense.
We couldn't stop anything last year. I'm trying to go through and see where that was. Was it Carolina? Was it last year? Or was it 2 years ago?
I think it was last. It may have been either last year. Was it 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
It's a blur.
2 years ago. Hold on. You're making me go back and look at that.
I think it was. But while you are looking that up,
was it 280? It was 2 years ago, and they ran for 285. That's insane. you get run for 285 on you in an NFL game, you need to pack it up and go home.
I mean, Derrick Henry does that twice a year.
Last year, Tennessee ran for 249. Indianapolis ran for 273.
Cleveland. That was before Marlon Mack got hurt. And they still had the other guy come in and was just the rookie was.
Well, Marlon Mack got hurt. He was already out for the year, and the rookie Jonathan Taylor did that. Let's see, last year 1, 2, 3, 4. We had 4 teams run for over 200 yards against us last year.
That's insane.
We got to stop that. I guarantee I'm putting it out there. If we can stop the run, if you can hold teams to at least, let's see, 100 is a bit of a wish. Less than 125, 135, you might squeeze another win or two out of that. You might give up one long run. You know, you have those games where somebody runs for 80 yards and they don't get nothing else the rest of the game. But when you're giving up 200, that means they're getting 4, 5, 6, 7. In Derrick Henry's case, 12 every pop. We got to stop that. We got to stop the run.
Those are the kind of numbers I put up in Madden every night in that new Madden 22, crushing it on arcade mode. Hit me up if you're on Madden. Jack's not Jack, same as my Twitter handle. Prepare to get smashed.
I thought about you the other day when we were watching the game, though, when the Cowboys, they did have it on the scoreboard. It was JAC, and I was like, Jack's not Jack's.
Yeah, I know. That's the whole origin story behind my username on all that stuff. But Derek, you don't even know yet. I've watched some YouTube tutorials. I found out a pretty cool way to do like the Hail Mary formation each play with Arizona and take that quarterback and run a little bit. I'm going to throw you off your game. Get ready.
I haven't played that but once with my neighbor, and I'm pretty sure that's all I need. to beat you again.
Oh, gotcha. Good.
Backstory is I played him like 10 years ago whenever on a work trip down in South Florida. And after about 5 minutes, we basically cut the game off.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
I don't play anymore. I never have time. But yeah, if you want to, I'll run over there and beat you right quick. We'll invite JK through, or we'll have some beers or something and laugh about that, because
that was in a hotel room, that bad, you know, hotel Wi-Fi and all that. Man, you can't really, you know, lag. No. You can't really.
No excuses.
But really quick, just to finish off the roster piece of it, any, you know, guys that were cut from the team that end up making the practice squad that you guys want to point out and just kind of give a little bit of feedback on? I know Cotton was a guy in that last game that every 5 seconds I looked at the chat, you guys were talking about him. And then a lot of folks were, I don't know if they were surprised or sort of caught off guard by the Treadwell thing. I think some folks thought that he would make the team, but he ended up on the practice squad. I didn't even think he'd be eligible for that. I don't know how many years he's been in the league, but any thoughts on the cuts and just guys that we let go, whether they were, sad to see, or, you know, hoping that they stick around through the practice squad and don't get picked up by anybody else.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I don't think there's anybody that's super. I mean, I wanted Treadwell to make it, and I think I wanted. It's slipping my mind now. Treadwell, I wanted to make it, and Dorsett. I thought Dorsett. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought Dorsett was going to really be able to, you know, kind of add a different element, you know, and be able to at least, because they're veteran route runners. I think those are the guys that are going to really be able to run routes and be where they're supposed to be, and be able to help within the offense. You know, I really thought that was going to be it, but other than that, you know, nobody else that's really, you know, kind of stuck out to me that would have made it, that I'm like, but Cotton, yeah. And I think Cotton got hot because he made a couple of plays and, you know, kind of pushed everybody, you know, to that, but Cotton didn't, I don't know how many other plays did he make during the first two games, you know? So it's like if he was lighting up the entire preseason like that, then you make a case for it. But you know, he had a game where he balled out, and hopefully he can work his way up from the practice squad. And plus, it's a long season too. You know what I mean? So you know, somebody can get hurt and get elevated and get up to the practice squad. He can take from the practice squad. He continues to do what he does, and then work his way in. But I think Dorsett and Treadwell were the ones that were. That were shockers to me.
Even Dorsett's on the practice squad. I thought, is that part of the COVID changes to the practice squad where there's more eligibility? I thought you can only be on there if you played for like a couple of years or something.
No, you can.
I could be completely wrong. Yeah.
No, you can do all kinds of things, but now they've expanded it. It could be COVID, but it just this year with the NFLPA, I think they put it like 15, 16 people they can have.
On okay.
15, 16 players. So they can really, you know, stack it up. But remember, you know, those guys can get signed by anybody. You know, if you don't have them on your 53, they're not protected. So if they decide to take the deal, thought Dorsett would at least get on the 53 as like kick returner, punt returner, somebody like that. But we'll see how that works out. I think that a lot of the guys that made it that are on the practice squad, Treadwell, you know, Philip Dorsett, you know, I don't know why they even picked up Devin Smith. It's like we need another wide receiver. I swear, Urban Meyer, look, you're not going to – you can pick up as many guys as you want. You're not going to find those diamonds in the rough that are just going to burn it up in the slot and be all world, you know, in one season, like, you know, 4 months. it's going to take time. So I just hope they don't pick up another wide receiver unless we really, really need to.
Sure. And then you saw Jake Luton got picked up by the Seahawks. You know,
and he made their 53.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean, good for him, I guess. And then, of course, you know, just one quick shout out, I guess, to Minshew. I mean, everybody's been talking about that, but, you know, we traded him. So sad to see him go, I guess, to a certain extent, maybe based more on his personality and just kind of the fun factor with him. You know, so we just ended up with Beathard and Lawrence as the final two quarterbacks. What were you guys thought? Like that. What's that?
Don't say it like that. Oh, we just end up with Beathard and Lawrence. Don't say it like that.
Well,
like, don't say it like that. Like,
that's a good point.
We got a good number one.
We end up with Beathard and Trevor Lawrence is our, yeah, I know. I need to use the announcer voice thing when I'm talking about this stuff. I think it's lack of coffee. It's pretty late. But yeah, no, we graciously end up with two good quarterbacks, especially Beathard, who looked pretty good in preseason. He was fun to watch. But what I guess we should talk just briefly about Urban Meyer and the sort of stuff he just kind of throws out there, especially related to COVID and the fact that apparently being vaccinated or unvaccinated was part of the potentially part of the decision making process, which of course lit up the Facebook comment sections out there, which was fun to watch. It seems like the Jags organization's already kind of backtracking a little bit, and the NFLPA is threatening something. I'm not really sure what, but what are your guys' thoughts on that? Yeah, they did, but I don't think
official statement.
But it doesn't sound like they can really do a whole lot about it, though, from what I've read, other than put out statements.
I mean, Urban, look, what's going to happen is that the media, and again, not us, we're still waiting on our media, you know, credentials. I wouldn't ask Urban a question like that, you know, because I'm not trying to get my dog, you know, caught up. I'm not trying to catch him up.
Exactly.
And a couple of things.
Good.
You know, I just want,
exactly.
I'm going to ask the real questions. Urban, you know, now that the 53 roster is set, you know, what type of bourbon are you drinking tonight to kind of like, you know, ease your way into the season?
You know, you're doing so good.
Asking real questions. You know what I mean? I'm not going to ask him if COVID or if vaccinations played. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're taking, they're preying on the inexperience of it. And eventually he's going to turn into Belichick. And then we're going to complain about him not saying anything. The reason why he's not going to say too much is because you keep catching him up and try to get him on a hot mic.
Sure. Urban, what did not having a Jaguars polo on in your press conference prior to the Cowboys game play into your performance? Yeah, I think that's a pretty good pitch, honestly, for press credentials, to be honest with you. Because, yeah, they're setting them up a little bit. But, Derek, do you think there's any teeth there, or is this all just sort of, you know, just kind of getting caught up in the media frenzy? Is anything really going to happen from him saying that?
No. And I told y'all, don't, first of all, even listening to a word that man says, okay, he can have everybody fooled. Oh, he's, you know, great coach and all that, and he is a good coach. He is a great coach. But what I'm saying is, like, as far as the how he plays the media, the words he says, like anything, if he gets up there and says, you know, I think Trevor had a good day today, I don't believe it. I don't believe those are his true words. You know, it might be his words, but I don't believe that's what he really thinks, because that's just what he is. That's just what he is. He's been that type of coach, that type of guy for years. So when you really look at it, take anything. He just, you know, yeah, he got caught up in the moment. Yeah, he's probably going to end up like Belichick. I when he got hired on, I said, hey, look, the courtship has everybody feeling good. You know, the marriage is going to be awesome. But then he's going to do things that you're going to be like, what? He said what? Or he did what? Or he's about to do, huh? And that's just herbs for you, man. That's just how he is. So don't read into any of that mess. He probably said that just to see what that little annoying person who asked the question Urban Meyer thought it was an annoying question. He just probably answered it just to see what the, you know, dude would do. You know, obviously everybody took it and run with it. You know,
right? Yeah, they did. Yeah, yes, so, they did.
Yo,
yeah,
they ran. They ran a 4x1 with that.
Well, yeah, they took that, man. They handed that baton off every 100 meters. No, it's just I just when I sit back and I listen to him talk, and that's what they're saying. And oh, he's doing this and doing that. I don't believe it. I really don't believe it. Like, the way he's – let's take this a step back for a second. The way he's shuffled players in and out, especially wide receivers. And then all of a sudden, you got, you know, we've been picking on Taven Bryan all night. We're going to pick him up. Yeah. From a football standpoint, he hasn't done anything. So it's like, okay, how come you haven't moved him? And then, you know, he gets in front of Taven. Oh, Taven's doing, you know, No. I don't believe it. I bet you he probably wants to get rid of him too. But Balky's probably like, no, we can't do that, man. We're going to owe him a lot of money. We don't want to do that. Let's hold off a minute. So my point is, I just don't believe anything the man says.
But I think it's funny how the Urban says that and it comes out. And then there's other teams now. It started kind of like a fire, like you just said, ran with it. Like the Colts, you know, their GM has been quoted saying there are quote unquote consequences for players unvaccinated against COVID-19. So how can he say that and it be reported? But, you know, Urban says that. You know, Urban makes what he says about, you know, COVID and the vaccine and or the cuts. But that makes just worldwide news. But this guy can, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if it's because Urban's a hot name saying it, but, you know, you gotta, and the way that the NFL is right now, they're making it so difficult for players that are not vaccinated against COVID-19. You know, and not to make it any type of, you know, political stance or going any other way or anything like that, but they're just making it, you know, they're making it harder to be on the team and not vaccinated than, you know, being on the team and vaccinated. Like if you're on the team and you're vaccinated and you do test positive for COVID, I think it's like a 5-day wait period, you know, as opposed to somebody that is unvaccinated and, you know, COVID and has or comes down with it, then it's going to be fines and you could lose games. I mean, and from some of the other stuff that we're reading is that if you are an unvaccinated player, then you when you do travel, you cannot leave your hotel room and like all this other stuff. So, I mean, yeah, they definitely are, you know, have figured out where they want within their line in the stand. And I think it's unfair for the NFLPA to investigate or quote unquote, you know, go after coaches and teams like that when the NFL, the Shield, quote unquote, has already said that, you know, this is what's going to happen if you're not vaccinated. So if the Shield is making it, you know, this difficult for players that are unvaccinated, then if Urban did say, yeah, we decided to make a couple cuts, you know, or if vaccination status was one of the things that weighed into it, I mean, you got to protect your team at that cost, right? You got to then look at, like, if somebody does get sick with COVID and then you have to forfeit a game because of it, you know. So, I mean, common sense would tell you that if a person was unvaccinated and not able to help this team, or if they're in the same, like, you know, realm, this person's vaccinated, probably going to, you know, that may have been a factor.
Sure. Yeah, I would think, and I didn't listen to the clip of him saying this, if it's even out there, but I think I read today that the Jags are amongst the most unvaccinated players on an active roster in the NFL. So obviously it didn't make that much of a difference when it came to the final 53, I guess. But I would think more generally, it does make sense to say that, though, because if there are more stringent penalties for a player testing positive, if they're unvaccinated, where they're going to be unavailable for a period of time, it's almost kind of like a logical thing to include in your, you know, screening process when you're, you know, cutting players, I think. I mean, it doesn't sound that crazy, does it, Derek?
Look. We're not going to get – I don't want to comment on that because I just – you know, the whole COVID thing, I don't really want to comment. The NFL is – I don't.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good day.
No, because it's just such ridiculousness and such craziness, you know, that we're all going through this. But and even having a discussion when we're supposed to be talking about ball – not us, but I'm just saying in general, you know, we all fans love the game and that's what we want to see. But I can tell exactly. You, the NFL is not driving the bus behind this. It's the networks and their sponsors that are driving the bus behind this. The money, especially the ad money. That's who's driving the bus behind us. not the teams, not the owners, not the coaches, not the league, not even Roger Goodell, who I don't like him, and like 90% of NFL fans don't like him. It's the networks and the advertisers, because they want the product on television. They want us watching. Even if we don't go, they want us tuned in every Sunday between 1 and 7. And if we're not, for that six-hour block, if we're not tuned in, then they're not making any money, and they get upset. So that's what's driving us, I think. So that's why you got the crazy rules, and players know that. You don't think players don't know that? Their team and their agents haven't told them that? Like, you know, hey, you know, it's no secret that, you know, that's what this is all about. That's what it always is about, money. Any sure. decision that's made like that. So that's all. That's all I'm saying. It's just when you look at, you know, the rules, and you got to stay in the hotel, and for the vax players, you're cool, and, you know, vax, we don't want you around vax players. It's just about money.
Well, Derek, as a follow-up question to that, let's talk about the origins of COVID. Do you think that it started in a laboratory, or do you think – I'm just kidding. Okay, so –
see his face.
Yeah, I'm just joking. Okay, so I think we covered all the bases on the roster and the preseason game. Weirdly enough, I keep thinking the first regular season game is this coming Sunday, but I guess there's a week gap until so I guess it's September 12th until the first game in Houston. So I don't know how much we want to jump into that or wait until next week, since we have a full week until it starts.
Let's wait until next week to see if Deshaun Watson's still on that team. Let's see if some team's dumb enough to give them all those draft picks.
Sure.
It's insane that they're asking for they're basically asking for a ransom. They're trying to fleece somebody for him, and there's no way it's going to happen.
Isn't there a high possibility, by the way, that he like won't play again or whatever? I mean, isn't that a thing? Like,
no, shouldn't they be it's not a high possibility. It's a fact that he said he's not going to play. He'll attend all the meetings.
Uh-huh.
And he'll go to the practices. His agent, who is the same agent as Jalen Ramsey's agent, is very smart. And he basically has it broken down to every thing he has to do to the bare minimum to get his money.
Sure. I don't even mean that. Not so much that, Derek, but I thought he was, and maybe I'm missing the news on this, but wasn't he like caught up in all kinds of legal stuff or whatever?
Oh yeah. He's got a lot of things going on. It's just a lot. He's in a world of a mess. He's trying to get out of it. I don't know if he's going to get out of it. You know, who knows who's telling the truth on this stuff. You know, you got one side versus the other, but I do know this. You got more than 20, Corey, 20 young ladies saying something about you. Huh. There's some truth. I won't say there's truth to that. But there's something there.
There's fire.
There's fire. Yeah, there's something mm-hmm. there. If you got that many late now, it's a conspiracy with the owner because he got mad, and all of a sudden a week later, and the owner and the attorney used to live down the street from each other. All these random rumors. I'm like, but why you know would what someone happens, waste though? That much time and energy to ruin a person's life?
What happens, though, is if Deshaun does get another shot, if a team does take a chance and take him, all of this goes away if he wins. If he gets away from underneath the Houston Texans, and if he decides to, or if he's able to play and start fresh and do a compete for a job, or you know, come in and you know, just instantly lift a quarterback room up, first, second, maybe third win, it'll start to quiet down. That's winning cures all, man. I'm telling you, winning cures all. It really does. If he wins and if he's able to prove that he can still play in the league underneath the scrutiny and all the things that he's able to, you know, kind of endure. And if he does get another shot, you know, there were some rumblings that Miami was in the mix. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. how far, I don't know how true and, you know, what fell apart with that. So if he does get a shot, man, he's going to be the most dangerous player on earth. Yeah. He's going to be out to prove something.
Yeah.
But that's a big if he gets a shot. Big.
Yeah,
if.
That's the thing. I just thought for some reason he was like not even going to play again. But I guess innocent until proven guilty, that whole thing. So I guess I shouldn't judge, but whatever.
Absolutely. But it'll be dumb to see what team gives them the 3 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and something else. They want like all kinds of crap.
Well, Houston's probably looking at it as a way to go ahead and rebuild their organization. I mean, you think about it; they're not going to perform very well, this year. I don't think, at least from on paper and record wise goes. So they're probably looking at this as a jump start on building through the draft, like all teams really want to do,
mm-hmm. and all fans love. I mean that sarcastically.
And for all the other football fans out there of other teams. Building through the draft and having a lot of cap room doesn't mean you're really going to be successful right away.
Oh, trust me, it doesn't at all.
Trust me, we know.
Right.
Nothing like building through the draft and, you know, your team being out there or your fans, you know, being out with pitchforks trying to get a defensive tackle, off the team.
Exactly. So, yeah, I guess we'll save the Houston game for next week, and maybe we'll even sort of tap into record predictions for the season and all that kind of stuff as well. That'll be pretty fun. Other than that, the only other thing I had on the agenda was your guys' reviews of Donda. What are we thinking on the Donda reviews there? JK3, you want to start?
7 out of 10.
Seven out of 10. Wow.
7 out of 10. This is not, it's not going to be one of those, CDs that you're riding around with your boys, hey man, bump that Donda. That's not going to happen. This is something that you will have on while you're out, depending, and I don't want to age myself, but you're on your morning walk, trying to get your mind right. You'll listen to some of those. You'll listen to it while you're, if you need something in the background, while you're working from home or working somewhere or trying to do something, that's it. But doesn't matter, because on Thursday or Friday, all this goes away when Drake comes out and drops, all of this goes away.
Is that true, Derek?
Derek does not like Drake.
Okay. So you're not going to be objective. I see.
I don't like Drake. But I'll say that I'm just going to say Kim called the cops on him, and the cop must have asked him if he had priors, because he must have said it about 20 times in that second song. So, jail. It's good to me. It's fine. Yeah, it's not what all the young kids like. They like the trap beats with the guys that have no, they can't rhyme, they can't rap at all. But it's fine. And, that's it. Donda to me is just Kanye West just still being weird the way he always has.
I feel like since his mom passed. I feel like he had to do something like that to get the album hyped up. Like, now all the stadium tours and all the weird antics all kind of make sense now since the album has kind of come out, because I think he had to kind of pump a little bit of that up into the streaming. But again, I think this and, Certified Lover Boy is going to be two totally different rap albums that somehow they're going to try to pit which one's better against each other. And, Drake always comes with some type of anthem, some type of dance, some type of, radio songs, and he doesn't miss. So I'm excited about it.
Okay. So you had 7 out of 10. Derek, what was your rating out of 10? Just so we can make sure we got this out there.
7.
7? Okay. All right. 7. That's good. It felt like when it was released that people already had articles ready to go saying it was the most genius thing they had ever heard in their life and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The production quality was so good on this. Just as a true audiophile. Shut up.
Yeah, right.
You're listening to this album through your AirPods just like I am. Stop it. And another thing too, while we're talking about music, I've never seen anyone wear the AirPod, the studio ones, that one, the headphones that hold up in a briefcase.
I haven't either.
Do those really exist?
That's a good question. I've never seen them in the wild.
Coworker who is an Apple, he is Apple. And he doesn't have them yet. So I'm like, then they probably don't exist.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. And how about the Beat stuff? Is that even a thing anymore? I know Apple sort of makes that stuff now. I don't even know if Dr. Dre and Jimmy, is it Iovine, are they even with Apple anymore?
I don't know, but Beats is still
competent. Apple bought them out.
Well, right, but they were on with Apple for a little while. I don't know if they're still there though.
Man, they took their money and ran.
Yeah, whatever. I guess Down by the Bank, sponsored by Beats by Dre. Actually, I don't even think they call it Beats by Dre. Ooh.
Boy, if we had a Beats sponsorship, oh my gosh. Ooh. Man, we need to talk to you about that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Blue Wire, hit us up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but we don't need Beats because we have Blue Wire, the greatest sports podcast network. And the ad that you hear at the beginning of this podcast, in the middle, and at the end is the true product or service that we most love and use every day. Whatever that ends up being. So just a heads up. But we'll wrap it up there. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review. Like, desperately, please. We haven't seen any written reviews lately, and those are kind of the most fun thing that we get. So please leave us a written review if you could. Those are always awesome. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much wherever podcasts are found. And again, we'll be back next week to talk a little bit about week one and season predictions. So that's it for now. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.